If you're one of the millions that suffer from hip pain, you may say to yourself that replacement surgery may be your only option, but that's not necessarily the case, and physical therapy has some answers for you. My guest today is Aaron McConnell. He's a physical therapist at Christiana Care. Aaron, I'm so glad to have you join us today. Tell us about some types of conditions that can cause joints to break down and what happens to the hip joint after years of wear and tear.
Well, I first want to appreciate the audience and for you for inviting me for this podcast, and I look forward to talking about this. With regard to hip pain, there can be a lot of different causes. So we have the standard osteoarthritic changes where there are bony and joint space changes, and there's to a certain amount things that can be done by physical therapy to change that on a long enough timeline that may need to eventually be replaced. At the same time, there can be a lot of other causes for hip pain that may not in fact be at all impacted by hip replacement surgery. A lot of those can be from the changes in the spine as well as changes in how the muscles around the hip can function. Mainly where that comes into play is that the spine obviously has nerve roots coming out of it, and that can create a referred pattern into the hip, both either into the front, the back, or the side. And those can look very similar to hip joint problems that may be just standard arthritis that can be worked on. That said, standard arthritis can definitely have a positive impact through physical therapy simply by changing how well the hip is able to move. And we can do that through manual therapy and exercise to kind of change how the hip moves.
So Aaron, as these joints break down, how does excessive weight affect our joints as we have an obesity problem in this country and people are, you know, really putting a lot of pressure on their hips?
I completely agree. And I think that added weight to the body is more than just the simple pounds of the body mass that adds to the hip. You have to take into consideration the impact. So every time your foot hits the ground, you're looking at, with just basic walking, you're looking at about 1.5 to 2 times body weight per foot strike. And then if we add something like running on top of that, the numbers go up significantly. And so if we take that into consideration, adding a pound to the body adds quite a bit more to your hips and also your knees and any other joint inside the lower extremity. So having more excess body mass than necessary also ends up with increased compression onto the hip. It also increases compression onto the spine and breakdown of both of those joints. And the spine and the hip are inextricably linked. You can't impact one without impacting the other and vice versa.
Well, they certainly are. And thank you for that explanation. So let's talk about the first line of defense for hip pain. How can patients try some things to avoid surgery, and how can a physical therapist help to evaluate the health of the hips?
I mean, from a basic preventative standpoint, a lot of it has to do with maintaining appropriate range of motion in your hips and range of motion and control of the spine. And the challenge becomes that we don't often assess that range of motion and control until something's already painful. Once the problem has arisen, okay, then we decide to do something about it. So being able to have someone take a look at how well you're moving is probably the biggest piece of prevention that would be helpful to then find out, okay, yeah, you have a limitation in mobility or you are missing control either from the spine or the hip, and to be able to do something about it then, and as opposed to wait until it is painful. Once it is painful, then we're looking at it from a perspective of physical therapy, and from there we want to then first see the cause for the pain, and then how many other pieces are connected to it. So it's not often that we'll do an evaluation that encompasses only the hip. We also want to look at how well the spine functions, how well even the ankle functions, because the ankle and the hip, just like the hip and the spine, are completely connected to one another. So if someone has a limitation in their ankle, that can negatively impact how their hip and spine function.
Isn't that interesting, the way that it's all, as you said, inextricably linked when we're doing that? So what do you do for people to help strengthen their hips and relieve pain? Tell us about some of the modalities that you'd use with patients.
Well, from a standpoint of modalities, a lot of what we use is manual intervention and exercise. Now, that exercise can be both for trying to gain mobility as well as improve muscular control and progress strength. It really depends on how the person presents. So from a manual therapy standpoint, we have soft tissue mobilization. That's more of a hands-on technique to try to change how well mostly the musculature moves. and allowing that to be able to lengthen and shorten more appropriately. That can also be impacted with a technique called dry needling, which is used to address trigger points in the muscles, which commonly would be known as muscle knots, where the muscle has basically contracted and come into a contracted state and cannot exit that contracted state. And both manual therapy and dry needling can have a positive impact on that. We can also use joint mobilization, which is going to try to get the tissue and the nervous system around the joint to be able to improve mobility, and then that can allow for freedom of range. The trick following that, though, is to make sure that the nervous system can figure out how to use that additional range. Because if we add range to a system, if we let it go back to its prior patterns of use, it's just going to wind itself back up into that pattern, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
What about things like activity modification or even ambulatory aids? There's also injections. People wonder about all of these different things, but when we're talking strictly physical therapy, activity modification sometimes makes people feel better, but yet contraindicated for the fact that you want people to move, right? So speak about how much you want them to move and what kinds of exercise you really want them doing.
So a simple process within that has to do with pain. So if your movement is painful, there's something wrong with that. Now, obviously, it depends on whether this is a structural problem, so in the case of a cartilage tear in the hip or something of that nature, or this is more of an organizational problem in that the body doesn't know how to appropriately use the parts to generate correct patterns of movement, and that in and of itself can create pain, even if there's not necessarily a structural defect. As far as activity modification goes, we obviously want to be able to remove as many of the painful activities as possible, as well as allow for appropriate activity to take place. So if someone has, say, pain with walking, but they're okay on a bike, okay, we can use the bicycle as a way to facilitate improved movement, or at the very least improve volume of movement, which can help from cardiovascular perspective and help with blood flow, and still let the person feel like they're able to stay active. But that's also what physical therapy is trying to work towards, is that not only are we addressing the process of trying to improve motion, improve motor control around the joints, as well as improve strength, but in the process of doing so, that then gives people safe exercise alternatives to then be able to progress onward with. And if they're able to move on and eventually be discharged from physical therapy, then the goal would be to be able to make sure that they can continue with progressive strengthening exercises to maintain the gains that they've made inside of physical therapy. I honestly think one of the other pieces around that was going back to my prior point of not necessarily doing painful movements. We have a tendency to not really think about how we move on a day-to-day basis, and there are usually numerous things that are happening throughout the day that may be adding small bits of pain and dysfunctional movement. So one of the harder pieces around that is to basically look at it from a subtraction perspective rather than an addition perspective. Adding would be adding exercises or new things for that person to do, when reality is if we can subtract as many of the painful activities as we can first, that can decrease the irritability of the system, which gives us a better opportunity to be able to move forward and make changes with our interventions.
Wow, such great information and so many options for treatment. Before we wrap up, when we think of modalities and people think of what makes them feel better, there's ice, there's heat, there's NSAIDs, you know, there's all these things. Where do you stand on ice versus heat? If someone's got pain in their hips or pain after walking, what do you want them to know about those kinds of things?
As a physical therapist, we're not in a position to be able to advise with regard to medication, but for ice and heat, realize that the depth of penetration of both of those is very limited. The idea of icing or heating up a joint, as particularly one as deep as the hip, it pretty much the heat doesn't get that deep. That said, some people find heat is more effective. Typically, it helps more with relaxation and stiffness, whereas ice, mostly what it does is modify pain. Just by slowing nerve conduction, and so then you don't feel it as much. And so if they feel better with one versus the other, I'm okay with them doing either one, with the realization that neither one will actually functionally change anything about how they're moving beyond just pain reduction or making them feel a little bit more relaxed.
And as we wrap up, Aaron, give us your best advice for keeping healthy hips and what you can do for them as a physical therapist at ChristianaCare.
I would first say that you want to be able to address pain as soon as possible. Too often we let pain go for an extremely long period of time before we choose to do anything about it. In my opinion, if you're dealing with a week's worth of pain and it's not changing and it's not going away, I would reach out to your physician or your primary healthcare provider in order to be able to have an assessment to determine, okay, is physical therapy appropriate? And then the goal would be, if physical therapy is appropriate, to pursue that to the greatest length earlier rather than later, and that'll help to be able to hopefully stave off the possibility of hip replacement, or you'll find that, yes, it has already gone far enough and then some other intervention is more appropriate at that time. But at the very least, seeking out physical therapy ahead of time will then hopefully hold off, at the very least, surgical intervention and hopefully avoid it completely, with obviously that being the long-term goal.
Thank you so much, Aaron. It's great information, and thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. And that wraps up this episode of Christiana Care's Moving Freely podcast series. To learn more about programs and services for keeping healthy hips, please visit christianacare.org/rehabilitation for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. If you found this podcast informative, please share on your social channels. And be sure to check out all the other interesting podcasts in our library. Until next time, I'm Melanie Cole.